The best way to predict the future is to invent it. Stephen Ambrose brings you up to speed on what the future holds as he explores the latest technology as it impacts our lives.
Well, good morning and welcome to Tech Talk right here on High FM, where we explore, well, as much as we can, all the crazy and interesting and sometimes quite concerning technologies that are going to change our lives. In fact, have changed our lives for the better for most of us. I'm not a tech cynic. I'm actually a very pro-tech person, which I think you understand after listening to me for a bit. But anyway, interesting news this week from our friends at DSTV. One, they're fairly bullish. There's been a lot of talk over the last few months and years around the fact that streaming is eating DSTV's lunch, and that for the most part, linear TV, TV that you switch on and watch as it's broadcast, has reached its sell-by date, in fact, quite a while ago. There's no question that we all sort of live in a world where you expect, apart from news and sport, which are played, you know, sport is played to a schedule, news is manufactured as we go along, it seems, these days. But essentially, linear TV, TV that had a schedule where you all set the clock to come and watch your favorite program, is long, long gone. We turn on Netflix and chill, we turn on the various products, and we do that. And DSTV has taken quite a while. I mean, they've had their PVR and all sorts of other little gadgets and gizmos to try to keep you entertained and give you a little bit more control over your stream, etc., etc. But essentially, the day of linear TV is done, and DSTV are moving along fairly slowly, I might add, with regard to fixing that. So what they've done, and this is going to roll out it's rolled out in the last few days, they've rolled out a 24-hour rewind and cloud PVR. So instead of having that on your, or having a PVR of your own, if you log on to their, for now, so this is how they partially do it. They don't wait till it's available across all platforms. They roll it out on computer first. So if you go to a web browser and you can now decide what to do and what to watch. So you can rewind for up to 24 hours on certain selected channels. I haven't tried it yet. I've played a little online, but it's not that easy. But essentially, you can now rewind for 24 hours. When I'm saying not so easy, it was just a little bit of a struggle to get the whole thing up and running and working properly. I use the app. I use other ways of getting hold of DSTV. So not doubting my technical prowess here, but it wasn't the simplest thing. But once working, you can wind back for about 24 hours and you can save certain live shows to watch for 30 days. There doesn't seem to be any real limit in terms of what you can save, but I wouldn't push it too hard. But right now, the 24-hour watch from start is available on Supersport channels, Mnet itself, the main channel, Mzansi Magic, and CakeNet. And it allows you to sort of skip back for 24 hours and see what you've missed. Again, a lot of people are not watching that stuff, but there it is. You can do that. Also, what you can do is you can save particular shows that you want to watch. You sort of record them in the cloud PVR under My Stuff. And have a look at that. It's pretty good. The challenge is that a lot of us watch on a lot of people do watch on their computers, but mostly DSTV is consumed on the TV. If you have a PVR, some of this is available, but not all. And the iOS and Android apps will be following in due course. So let's watch the space. But I think it's quite an interesting push from DSTV to remain relevant and allow us all to have the ability to basically catch up and move on and do what we want to do. So look at that. And as I said, they've announced some somewhat steady results. They seem to be retaining a large chunk of their viewership across the various platforms. They are losing quite significantly over the past few years some of their premium stuff because it's quite expensive, even though I do believe they do an amazing job of curating some of the best content from across the world. And there's so many. If you had to add up what you'd pay if you had access to all the various channels and streaming platforms, I think it's reasonable in its completeness. But that's something that we're still going to watch, because in South Africa you obviously can't get access to all the American, European, and other streaming channels. But you can get hold of a very well curated selection on DSTV. So there's that, and of course for the sports lovers, hard to beat. But anyway, that's again a discussion for another show. Moving on, it was very interesting to see how the digital world is definitely coming to everything. And Capitec have announced with Cisco that they're completely revamping. So all you Capitec users out there, and they are one of the biggest banks in South Africa now, they certainly are growing quicker than the traditional guys. And Capitec and Cisco have partnered to redo their infrastructure to support their 23 million clients. I mean, that's a lot of people using Capitec. And what they say is that they will be able to enhance their digital network across their branches, make a lot of wireless access to all the employees and to their customers in branch, and also to just update some of their applications that need a much more stable and fast and integrated cloud-based, this is the whole thing, network. So watch the space, expect to see some improvements on your Capitec product going forward, and interbank or transfers and all sorts of other connectivity options, which should improve security, give you VPNs into their network, things like that. Always makes a lot of difference. And Cisco, as most people know, sort of the backbone of the internet in many, many different ways. And before we take our break, a quick shout out. The 29th of November is Black Friday. I'm not going to talk a lot about it on this show. Next week, I'm going to discuss a whole lot of Black Friday stuff in terms of what's coming, what's going on. But already the specials have started pre-Black Friday. It's sort of become a selling season for the month of November before we sort of hit the traditional Christmas selling season, which was happening in the December time. But essentially, a lot of deals are coming out. There's been a lot of talk, as usual, of prices sneakily being put up so they can offer bigger discounts to bring them down going forward. So as always, if you're interested in anything, it is a good time to look for those big ticket items for two reasons. One, everybody wants to have a good Christmas or a good year-end period, because that's when most of the turnover in most of these sort of white goods and homewares and electronic stores do their business. And secondly, it's also the end of the calendar year. So a lot of companies are looking forward to, especially in technology, they're looking forward to new products coming out in 2025, and they will be clearing out inventory, certainly very good quality inventory from 2024. So specifically, big TVs, big discounts from now through till January, February, March next year, but certainly Black Friday is always big on that. And a lot of other technology products tend to get really good specials going into this period. But again, be careful, be aware, watch what you buy, do lots of research online. I will talk a little bit about agents in a bit. You can set them up to do that for you. But essentially, use the search, look at the various shopping platforms that allow you to compare, and check to make sure that you're not being taken to the cleaners when you think you're getting a special deal, because unfortunately that happens. Also, some of the early deals are sometimes better than the later ones. So the Black Friday sort of Technology Monday vibe that's been going for many years has sort of broadened out into a month-long specials sort of system that generally does work, as long as you're really wide awake and look well at what's going on and compare the pricing across the various platforms, and always, always check on a number of retailers, because you can't always be sure that the one you're buying from who's offering you the biggest deals is the best one on the market. You sometimes find deals that are as good, if not better, on a non-Black Friday sale. So check that out. We'll talk a little bit more specifically next week about some of the other Black Friday issues around using your credit card, about ordering stuff that doesn't get delivered, but we'll discuss that in the next little while. In the meanwhile, we're taking a quick break for our sponsors. I've got a quick live read, and then we'll be able to get into a really interesting topic, and that's all about AI agents. We've heard lots and lots and lots about AI, but now there's a new wrinkle. It's called the AI agent.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. And just a quick recap about what's going on. This is our sort of Tech Talk Cafe where we talk trends and try to get a couple of interesting people on board, but we're working on that. Should be some coming to join me fairly soon. But right now, AI is all the buzz. It's sort of faded in terms of its sort of immediacy, and it's, oh, wow, it's AI. Everyone's got it. By the by, for example, Microsoft have realized that Copilot, which they were charging quite a lot of money for as an add-on in terms of AI, which was available through their browser, but not directly through Office 365, have now decided to include Copilot into Office 365. So most of you will have noticed a little multicolored little symbol for Copilot popping up in their Word, in their PowerPoint, and it's pretty useful. So have a little look-see at it, but it's now free and part of the Office 365 experience. So if you're on Office 365, check it out. That's just a little segue into the whole story of AI. But the latest development in AI is something called agents. Now, AI was driven by, as we've discussed on the show many, many times before, by something called large language models, or LLMs. You may have heard of that. And if you haven't, you now have. So LLMs were simply agents. Well, they weren't really agents, but they were platforms that used the ability to search through, store, and present tons and tons of information that was fed to this platform and presented to you in a human-type intelligence way. So it would go through a ton of information, and you'd ask for something that was within the scope of the LLM's learning, and it would then be able to give you suggestions, information, summaries, create things, do a whole host of stuff. So from music, there's a whole new genre of music, which is fully AI developed. Again, a topic for another day, but photos, pictures, videos, you name it. These so-called massive LLMs were able, because of their sheer ability to collect and process, remember so many details, so much data, it gave you the ability to ask questions and get really interesting information. What is starting to happen, which is really interesting across the entire spectrum, is that people, instead of using search, are using ChatGPT or AI type search, whether it's Meta search or whether it's any one of them, Google's or Microsoft or AI or OpenAI, directly, and more coming, as we discussed in our last show, to Apple Intelligence, also AI. Very clever use. Apple Intelligence, AI, same thing, more or less. Anyway, the next generation of what is coming out of AI is something called agents. Now, the science fiction of this has always been long and complicated and interesting. You know, you talk to your computer and tell it to go out and do things for you. But the back end of doing things for you is quite a significant change in the way that technology works, because essentially any task is a number of subtasks. So anything you expect to do, anything you want to do on your computer means opening the computer, logging on, opening a program, opening a particular file, or starting a new file from scratch, or doing any form of processes that creates the end task. It's then saving it, printing it, mailing it, turning it into a presentation, whatever it is that you want to do. There's a whole chain of activity that results in an activity. And the promise now, the new and the latest sort of evolution of all of this, is essentially the whole idea of launching an AI agent. So what we're talking about is a very simple request given to a computer, either verbally or typed in, and then it goes off and does a complete set of tasks in order to enable what you've done. So examples of that are as simple as writing code, debugging the code, executing the code, and then creating an app based on that code and presenting it to you all in one go. You don't have to, you tell it what you want to do, you give it specific instructions. There's an art in that in and of itself. It's not that simple. If you don't know how code works and you don't know what you need, you can't just sort of magically write code if you have no knowledge of it. So in that case, the AI agent is still driven by you. And in all cases, it's still driven by you, your knowledge, your expertise, and your ability. But you can use a computer, or certainly there are a number of agents out there already that are starting to work, with OpenAI announcing they're bringing them in January, which is crazy. It's only less than two and a bit months away, or less than a month and a bit away. Anyway, the year is flying really quickly. But OpenAI have announced, amongst other things, that they are going to release a planned test release, but it will go broader as we speak, and I will talk about another one that's actually out there. But Anthropic have done one already, as well as Alphabet's. Google is talking about doing it as well. But simply put, what this does is an agent-related product, which will allow the computer to do things on your behalf using either the computer's programs that are built in, or going into the web, downloading information. And all of that stuff is based on the whole ability of LLMs to create and to learn, which is quite interesting. So all of these programs, what makes them so powerful is that the more information they're given, the better they get. So with these type of products, that the models will then be able to execute a whole host of tasks on your computer, or book travel, or do complicated things. So if you want to travel to Rome during from the 14th to the 25th of December, you tell the agent to do that. It will book your, and you tell it what it learns over time. Obviously, in the beginning, you have to tell it, but you tell it, I'd like to stay in a four-star hotel, very central Rome. Please, will you book me air tickets at the best price? Find me a really good hotel that makes, you know, makes sense. Also, I want the transfers. Please go and do it. And the agent, theoretically, should be able to go out like a human travel agent and set this all up, present you with the various options, and you could tell it to go ahead and book and, in fact, pay. So the agent, just like science fiction, will be really, really coming to take away a lot of the mundane tasks. And that's just one leisure thing. But if you think about so many other tasks that you do in a day, when you basically, whatever it may be, you work with spreadsheets, you analyze certain data, you create certain presentations, you do monthly, daily, weekly, or annual reports. Imagine the world that we live in, where you'll be able to go to your computer, give it a set of instructions, and every time it executes, it gets either better or smarter. It comes back to you and say, do you like this? You say, no, I don't. I prefer that. And essentially, that the time taken to do so many of these mundane tasks will be set up and executed in an agent-based, AI-driven setup on your computer. And this might sound completely like science fiction, but the models are evolving at a rate and a speed. If you think about it, the whole LLM AI thing is not even 2 years old. In fact, it's slightly less than that in terms of mainstream. And these agent AI tools that will come with the various platforms, and they'll all have them, from Microsoft to Google to OpenAI to ChatGPT, you name it, they will all run on the various models. And one of the biggest elements of this, and the benefit of it for businesses, for example, is that you'll be able to automate a ton of mundane tasks and interactions in a very, very powerful way. And one of those, some I came across, and it's actually running, and I've interacted with them quite a lot, is something called a digital human. Now, a company called Unique has been working on this, and you can actually check it out right now. You can go to digitalhumans.com, and you can interact with their virtual artificial human. I love that. They call it a virtual artificial human. And you can speak to it. You can ask it things. You can do all sorts of interesting interactions. And the only thing that gives it away, apart from the facial expressions, and an actual human pops up in a little chat box, and you enable your microphone to talk to it, that's perfectly okay. And you can actually speak to it and ask it information. And it gives back some pretty relevant, smart information. This is the beginning of an agent. This is not an agent as we're talking about right now. But if you go and have a look at digitalhumans.com, they're doing some work for people such as T-Mobile in Germany. They're also doing stuff for Kiehl's and other companies, which is really interesting. And they believe this digital human is always on, it's always on brand, it's able to interact and has the knowledge of that company's products, services, and platforms, and is able to advise you and assist you in pretty remarkable ways. And the interaction is pretty seamless. And what's interesting, some of the research they've done has shown that for sales, for example, it's increased conversion rates in sales enormously. It's reduced cart abandonment. So you go online, you find something that's not right, you interact with their digital human, and you tend to buy more. And the customer ratings of these humans, or these avatars, they're not really humans, these digital assistants, is really high. It's well over 4 out of 5. So it means that it's solving problems that most people wouldn't have even thought of trying to solve using a digital avatar. So check that out. I'm absolutely fascinated by this element of AI and how carefully and quickly. I asked the AI, how do we improve the responses? And it quite correctly told me that it may not be that my response is too slow, but your internet connection may be too far. And the simple fact is, if you're in South Africa and you're talking to an agent in America or Europe, there's a time delay between getting the signal to them and getting the signal back. It's simply a function of light. It's somewhere in the region of 80 to 180 milliseconds sometimes to get that information back, and it's possible there would be delays. Now, the big data centers in South Africa replicate a lot of this data and put it locally, so there's the speed is improved tremendously. But generally, with these type of new technologies, the servers, the platforms sit in Europe and America and other places, so you find that there's a slight delay. But even so, the response times are pretty impressive. The facial expressions and the appropriateness of the voice and the way it responds and the way it attends to your problems is pretty remarkable. And Qatar doing it as well for their services. So overall, I think the days of talking to a call center agent are gone. So if you get frustrated with those, can you imagine what will happen when you run out of the ability of the LLM or the avatar that you're talking to? That's a whole another can of worms that are going to certainly work there. But what is happening more and more and more, you are starting to see these programs getting better so quickly that they outstrip the ability of people to mess with them, if that makes any sense. So again, like all LLM AI type platforms, the more you use them, the more you talk to them, the more information they have at their disposal, the better they get at answering problems or dealing with things. So in combination, the growth of artificial intelligence in terms of the ChatGPT model, where you could type to them, you can now, in the latest models, which you have to pay for, in some cases, you can have natural conversations with, to the avatars that are going to be popping up on websites and across most companies that it makes sense. They're a lot cheaper to manage and can handle. And we're not even going to talk about the fact that a whole lot of call center agents may or may not become redundant. And ultimately, dealing with a human for certain complicated matters may make a lot of sense. But for general stuff, finding out information, asking what's going on within a particular order or a platform or something is getting easier and easier. And in fact, as you start moving forward, you're going to find that asking a program to do something, an agent, which will often have a human interface saying, you know, Siri will become a person and you'll be able to actually have a good conversation with that person and ask it to do certain things, which involves using your computer, using the internet, interfacing with your bank, and all sorts of things with security, of course, because voice and face will be quite key in making sure that your interactions are safe and secure. Again, something Apple's been pushing really hard, but all of them are working very closely on that level. But essentially, you're going to be able to speak to your computer, ask it to do a whole host of tasks, write letters, create spreadsheets, morph them into presentations, look for things, find out information, do research. Every sort of mundane, or create a spreadsheet or a report out of a spreadsheet with the information that's on your accounting system, on your CRM system, those sort of things using natural language and speech, which makes all the difference. And then interact with an agent, which will then come back to you with options, and you can go back and say, no, I prefer this and I prefer that. So artificial intelligence is rapidly moving at a pace and a speed that is going to literally change the way that we work. There's a lot of talk around how this is going to affect jobs and how this is going to affect how people work. And for me, jobs have always been morphing. Jobs have always been changing. People have always been relearning stuff. So stay agile, keep learning, keep trying, keep playing with these various platforms, and stay informed through talks like this, and find out what's new and what's coming, because these things are going to change the way you do things. And if you do things faster than your competition, for example, in business, where you reach people in a better, more effective, quicker, and more satisfying way, you're going to find out you'll do better business. You'll find you'll sell more goods, you'll sell more services, or you'll deliver the services quicker at lower cost, even though you'll probably find you'll still need human beings, real people, doing the actual work or doing certain elements of work, but they'll be better informed. They'll be able to do research online that would have taken experts in the past, whereas now these various LLMs and AI models can do exceptional. I've been playing with some statistical stuff around research reports, and all the stuff you read about that I didn't know how to do from a statistical point of view, these LLMs are quite capable of doing for you. So you ask it to give you all sorts of correlations and high-level statistical analyses of data sets, and boom, it comes out so quickly without any third-party application. Obviously, some of these applications will be better. But overall, we're moving into an era where the how is becoming less relevant than the why, and what you're asking and what your end result is. And that's going to also change the way that we interact. A lot of people get to the output through a process of doing. So you create things, you work through problems, you create spreadsheets, and then you start figuring out what you want out of it. Unfortunately, as times move on and the actual doing of that stuff becomes more and more automated through AI, through agents, through various online platforms, or even computer-based platforms, you're going to have to figure out what it is you're looking for before you know what's going on. And on that note, stay tuned for more of this. I'm going to be discussing more and more of these crazy things going forward. But we have a quick break for an ad. Let me give you another quick live read, and then we will be back straight after a message from our sponsors.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. And this is the time of the week where we talk about stuff I've played with, stuff I'm going to play with, but generally the gadgets and gizmos side of technology. And as a smaller side, the day of the shiny gadget has pretty much gone as well, along with linear TV, because everything is connected to something. Everything's connected to an app, a program, a product, a service, you name it. We live in a connected world. So every gadget that you buy, other than something simple like a battery charger, but those also getting pretty high tech with screens and sort of all sorts of interesting stuff coming. But essentially, standalone gadgets hardly exist. And in fact, it makes sense, because most gadgets, either with your mobile phone, which is a super powered computer in your pocket, along with the main computer you have at home, your tablet or your computer or your TV, they're all computers. In fact, your car's a computer these days. But one of the coolest little gadgets that I've played with in the last little while, and I've been looking at smartwatches, de facto Apple has won that race. The Apple Watch has become the single biggest selling and probably the most successful gadget around for many, many years in that space. Now, a lot of people, there seems to be a big swing away from smartwatches. And some people are saying that, you know, good old analog or even digital watches, that's quite retro about that, are cool and people have been doing that. But a ton of people out there still use a smartwatch for a couple of reasons. The first one is that it tends to be a health tracker, something that you can measure, monitor your health, your heart rate, your running, your whatever it is that you want to do. And you can use it for GPS. You can pay things with it. There are so many different functions that are available on a smartwatch. You can see notifications when your phone is in a bag, when you're in meetings, though that's always terrible, terrible etiquette to be constantly checking your phone or your watch for messages when you're in a meeting with physical humans. But again, a discussion for another time. But simply put, everybody that I know has got, at least even if they're not wearing them all the time, have got a smartwatch to be worn for whatever purpose, sport, whatever, wandering or cycling, you name it, they're using a smartwatch. And one of the coolest ones that have come across my desk, certainly for a while, is from a company called Vivo. Now, that's not a company that's very well known. It's fairly new in the game, though. They've been around a long time. But Apple do big job. Samsung have done a great job. Huawei, interestingly, as much as I'm not a big fan of their products or technologies for other reasons, but Huawei have got a great range of smartwatches, and they are well-priced, and they've got long battery life, and they look pretty cool. So more than that, and they work with pretty much any device out there, so there's that. But I've been playing for the last couple of weeks with a product from Vivo. It's the new Vivo Watch 3, and it is, simply put, a really great alternative. They offer one huge thing, up to 2 weeks of battery life. Now, all the other smartwatches that I've played with have up to 2 days. The Apple Watches, at best, you can get 2 days out of them. Samsung, fairly similar, a little bit better. Huawei, on the other hand, have always offered pretty good battery life. And this comes down to not only the technology that's built in to the device itself, but also the fact that they create their own custom software. Now, Vivo have done the same thing. They've created their own custom software, and they've released the new Watch 3, and it comes and it looks like a traditional timepiece. It's got a sleek, rounded body. It's made from a very light aluminium alloy. I can't really say how rugged it is, but I'm pretty tough on the watches, so I always try to go for the lighter ones. They show less wear. The blacks and the darker watches tend to scratch and mark a lot more. But anyway, it comes in black and silver, and it is really very thin, reasonably light, that you'd not notice it on your hand. A lot of people find that using a really big watch for sleeping, to track sleep and things like that, is not great. And also, often when do you charge your watch? You want to use it in the day, you want to charge it at night. So you can't really use it to track sleep unless you've got between, and this is another little wrinkle, a little codicils there. I haven't been able to get 2 weeks worth of charging out of it. I get between 8 and 12 days of use so far, which is still pretty good. You don't have to even think about it. I mean, it's like a surprise. Oh, it needs to be charged. Anyway, it's 13.8 millimeters thick, 36 grams in weight, which is not terrible. And it has a really interesting 8-channel heart rate monitoring and 16-channel blood oxygen. So it can track your blood oxygen levels. And that positions it right up there with the other high-end models, such as the latest ones from Huawei and Apple, from that point of view. And overall, the app and the way it connects and the amount of information it gives is really great. They've written their own OS called the Blue OS, and that covers all the basic functionality. Once you've loaded the app, you get alarms, you can play music, you get notifications, but you cannot respond to messages directly from the watch. And that can be a little bit of a hassle, because often, not often, but sometimes you find that it's quite convenient to either type or speak a response to a WhatsApp message or whatever it is or a short brief email. It's not the ideal tiny little screen to do that, but sometimes you just can't. Your phone somewhere else or whatever. But essentially, the watch comes in at under 6,000 Rand. It looks really good. It's got some great interfaces. And the base, although I would always tell people to have a fitness tracker, either ring or band or a dedicated fitness tracker watch for if you're a serious sports person and you really need fitness tracking. But this device seems to do a really good job for the sleep, for people who want to track their sleep, track their activity. So check it out. It's got exceptional battery life. It's got really accurate heart rate monitoring. It can check your blood oxygen levels, which are really important in terms of your running or training. The functionality of the app is fairly basic. The crown dial's a little big, but not terrible. And you can't respond to messages. But other than that, it's lightweight. It's stylish. It supports an eSIM, so you don't need to have it tethered to make it work. And you can make calls from the watch. So, and the pricing is certainly very competitive in that space. So check it out if you're keen and see how you can go with the new Vivo Watch 3. Pretty impressive in terms of overall functionality. And Vivo is a great brand that's been around for a while, so it might be unknown to you, but certainly it's worth a shot. And on that note, we have to quickly break for our sponsors, and I'll be back straight after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Now, some last thoughts around what's going on in the crazy world of satellite and streaming, and we spoke about DSTV earlier. But Starsat, unfortunately, seems to have run foul of ICASA, and says that it may or may not have to stop. So if any of you, it's not a big platform. I've not spoken to a lot of people who've used it, but they had quite an interesting offering, which was reasonably priced, and they seem to have gone out of business, unfortunately. And this is not great news for those that got involved. And this is unfortunately the danger in this. It's complicated. There's a lot of different things going on, and it just sometimes doesn't work out the way it's planned. They were raided by ICASA for not doing things. They took away all the equipment, and unfortunately that's going to, you know, pretty much bring their entire service to a standstill. But on that note, as I said before, DSTV certainly seem to be catching up. We are seeing more and more. Their titles, as I've said before, are really good. And if you're watching any of the streaming services and you are a big sports fan, it's almost a no-brainer that you add or keep DSTV either online, streaming. They still got to work out there. My major bugbear is to have two concurrent streams, which makes life incredibly difficult, especially if you're moving away from a satellite dish or any form of linear type programming and you want to watch everything through a tablet or a computer or even directly on your TV. So watch the space. I think we're going to see a lot of change coming in that broadcast element going forward. And we're going to see a couple of new products coming down the line. There's some interesting new streaming products that I've heard are coming to South Africa. So we may even see some challenges to DSTV coming. But right now, they seem to be the best and the widest range of product in terms of television or entertainment on the African continent for now. And let's see how that all pans out. And on that note, I'm going to call it a day for another edition of Tech Talk right here on High FM. Till next week, stay tuned. We've got some interesting Black Friday stuff that I've been researching, and hopefully I can give you some heads up and some information about where that's all going. And I'll try to highlight some really cool deals. I've been asked by quite a number of people about what's the best TV to buy, what's the best monitor to buy. A lot of interest in autonomous vacuum cleaners, which is quite an interesting one. I didn't realize that this was such a big thing. I thought, you know, taking a broom and just sweeping up or a vacuum cleaner does the job, but apparently not. You need something that can mop, vacuum, and do it on call and scare the family cat at the same time. But on that note, we call it a day. Till next week, this is Stephen Ambrose on High FM.